Good morning. It's great to see you here today. I'm glad over the last few weeks my voice hasn't chased y'all away, so I'm glad you're here. I want to welcome everybody here today. If you're a visitor today, we welcome you here, and we do have a tear-off page inside the bulletin. If you could fill that out so we could have a record of your visit, we would appreciate that. Some announcements for this morning. There'll be no evening service today. Spend those with your dads if you can and with family. Wednesday nights, we're looking for several volunteers to work with pre-K through 5th grade students on Wednesday nights from 6:15 to 7:15 p.m. This will be during the summer months. If you'd like to volunteer, please call the church office. First Baptist is collecting canned and paper goods for South Texas Children's Home Ministry. We'll collect until Sunday, July 31st. There's a list of items needed at the Welcome Center. Items can be put in your wooden box by the Welcome Center. Also, I want to announce that we will resume our choir practices on July 6th at 7:30 following the prayer service in the fellowship hall. We will meet in the music suite. Okay, in July, we have a fifth Sunday, so we're going to be doing a fifth Sunday singing. We have, at the Welcome Center, you'll find two pages. One is a fifth Sunday singing special music sign-up. If you would like to do a special, whether it's instrumental or singing, please put your name on here and fill that out so we can kind of plan for this. And then there's another page that just has, please list a song that you like the congregation to sing. So if you have a favorite song you want to do, if you just want to put the title of that down, you don't have to put your name on that, but if you want to, you can. And then we'll take these ideas, the ideas of songs and stuff, and we'll put a program together. But on July 31st, that's a fifth Sunday, and that would just be meeting up here for the evening service, just for a fellowship time of singing. And then immediately following that, we're going to have a homemade ice cream fellowship. As hot as it's been, I think it's time for some ice cream. Okay, so all right. So now that you know that means you have to make it and you have to show up. Okay, that's what that means. Okay, all right, so ice cream fellowship on that. All right, and after we have our prayer here, I have not forgotten, but I do want to say Happy Father's Day. And if you're like me, I had a dad that was very competitive. Maybe you had a dad that was competitive, you know, in spirit. Or maybe you're a dad or father that likes competition. Well, the video I have today is called Dad Battle. And so we're going to see two dads that are very competitive on this. So I hope you also brought your sense of humor today. Okay, because I think you will enjoy the film, you know, on the video that we have. But first, before we do that, we're going to have our deacon prayer led by Kenneth Cope.
It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to see you. I'm kind of like Brother Robert. My dad was an alcoholic, but I still loved him. Just basically, trying times. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, our most gracious Heavenly Father, and we honor you. And we glorify you, and we give thanks for all you do, for all things. We thank you for your grace, that by grace we're saved through faith. You have blessed us beyond what we deserve, Lord. Have mercy on us. Forgive us of our sins. Lord God, we thank you for this body of believers that have come to your house to worship you. We thank you for our staff and pray that your Holy Spirit will work through each of them. We pray that if there is one person that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that this would be their day to put their trust in you. Lord God, I pray for those members who are not with us today for whatever reason, and pray that your will and be done in their life and show them your love in other ways. I pray for those who are sick and hurting. I pray for those, you know, I pray for your healing hand upon them and that your will be done in their life. I pray, oh Lord, for those doctors and nurses and family members who are tending to the sick, that you will bless them in a special way. I thank you, and I pray for our first responders, Lord. I thank you for small town America. I thank you for being in a safe environment at this time. Lord, I pray for those family members who lost loved ones in Uvalde in such a heinous act. We grieve, Lord, you know, with them. And I just pray for healing hearts in the lives of those in Uvalde. Lord, I pray for our soldiers throughout the world, especially those who are in harm's way. I pray that you'll lift their spirits by knowing that we support them, and thank you for the liberty that we enjoy, you know, because of the work that they do. Lord, I pray for an abundance of rain. You know we need the rain, Lord, the farmers and ranchers across the state. I just ask that you hear our prayer, Lord. You said three times in the book of John, you know, that ask and you will receive. Lord, we have faith that you will hear our prayer. We thank you for Brother Joe and ask that you open his heart to your word today for us. And we thank you for Brother Robert as he continues to heal. We ask all these things in your precious name, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
I know that Father's Day, as I get older, is a more and more special day. And were my dad here, I would make every effort to spend it with him and express that to him, that I love him and care for him. Life was not easy with that, and some of you had the same experience. But some of you were blessed to have great dads who were attentive, and you should celebrate that. I want to pray, if your dad has passed, he's no longer with us in this world, would you stand at this time so I can pray a special prayer with you? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you for being our Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a model that is perfect and consistent, immutable. You never change. And Lord God, help us. There are men in this room who are dads to be like you. Father, I pray thanking you that it took a dad for each of us to be here. And some of us do not have dads with us these days because he's passed. And Father, I pray that you help each of us to embrace memories of the qualities, and the characteristics, and the value that that dad had. And that, Father God, we would embrace those things. We would exercise those things, not just to our own glory, but, Father, to yours, as a way of expressing our gratitude for those dads. Lord God, thank you for the time we had. Thank you for the lessons we learned. Thank you, Father, for the provision you've made for them in eternity. And now, Father, help us to be dads that are worth remembering, dads that are like you. And Lord God, help us to celebrate that today, even if our dads aren't here. Lord God, to remember that you have blessed us with such a gift. Father God, we thank you for giving us dads. We pray that we will be faithful for the rest of us who have dads here, that we will be faithful to call, to text, to send a card, to spend time with, and to let them know our hearts. Lord God, may you be glorified through our response and obedience to this responsibility. We pray to your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
If you would, stand with me, please, as we begin our praising through song. We're going to be singing hymn number 27, All Creatures of Our God and King. And if you're using the hymn books, we're going to be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou faithful moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Number 43. Okay, we'll sing all verses on this one.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the stilly white declare the Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that through the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's. Shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Okay, hymn 210, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thee has has first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long thou lendest me breath, and say when the dead do lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, till now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright, and singing thy praises before thee I'll bow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, till now.
Okay, and our next one comes from Lamentations. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. This is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in man, to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear present to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Father God, you are indeed faithful. We thank you that your faithfulness saves us, continues to save us, Father. We come now to a time to worship you with our tithes and offerings. We ask that you would bless our meager efforts, Father, that this church would be a beacon of your love, your life-changing love and desire for everyone to know you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, and all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son. The lion and the lamb, how great is our God. Sing me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Good morning. In light of Father's Day, I must testify, men, fathers here today, that there is no greater responsibility, no greater calling that God Almighty has given me than to strive to be a good husband and a good father. Without God's direction, without God's constant encouragement, and surely, without God's gracious forgiveness, I cannot be that good husband and good father that He wants me to be. This is a poem that I have read over the years to keep me constant. About just how important parents, both father and mother, are. I pray that God will use this in your life as you hear it. Mother, father, child, for one day you will be a mother and a father. The name of the poem is "You Ask Me Why I Go to Church." You ask me why I go to church. I give my mind a careful search, because I need to breathe the air where there is an atmosphere of prayer. I need the hymns that churches sing. They set my faith and hope on wing. They keep old truths and memory green, revealing the work of things unseen. Because my boy is watching me, you could put, because my daughter watches me, to know whatever they can see, that tells him what his father thinks, and with his eager soul he drinks. The things I do in daily walks and the things I say in daily talks, if I, with him, the church will share, my son, my daughter, will make his friendships there. We know that if we do not guide our children heavenward, Godward, Christward, churchward, if we do not, then we will be the only ones who are not influencing our children. The world will have an influence. We cannot stop that. But we, fathers, mothers, and even those of the church that sometimes fill a role in that regard, the infidel will have his influence. The streets of a city offer no diplomas and confer no degrees, but they educate with terrible precision our children. The nation's hope lies in the godly nurturing and admonition of the children under loving and endearing hands of their parents. Father, mother, to keep presenting Christ and presenting God's people, the family of God, to your children and your grandchildren, you will do nothing more important through life. They need you to do that. We're going to be looking today in the book of Ephesians, 4th chapter. And it'll be on the screen. If you would stand as we honor God's word found in Ephesians 4. The fourth verse says, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then a reference back to a prophetic psalm. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father and our God, our Father and our God, you are one. And you are mighty, powerful in all that you are and all that you do. And you have indwelled us that we might be directed through a world of toils and snares, awaiting your glorious return, awaiting a gathering of the saints together. Until then, Lord, you have supplied us with every good gift to be the people of God, the church. And we praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we praise you for the gifts that you have given us spiritually for the upbuilding, the edifying of the church, your body. of which you are the head. We praise you, O Lord, and we ask that you would move and work in a mighty way now as we look into your word in a deeper fashion. All of this we pray. And we pray that your family will be encouraged. Your family will be strengthened. Your family will be united under you, O Lord God. We ask that any that do not know you as Lord and Savior would come confessing their need, repenting of their sin, and embracing you, Lord, by faith. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in these verses 4 through 8, we see the oneness of Christianity. Here we see the singularity of the church. Seven times you have seen the word one repeated. And in truth, along with that goes the understanding that is one and only one. One and only one. This is not a buffet of the possibility of other faiths. We are Christians. We are bought with his blood. We will be raised as he is raised to life eternal. Embrace that, my friends. The world, the culture, will tell you something else. These seven unities or onenesses are already in effect. We had nothing to do with them. Except embrace that fact. We are all Christians that have believed. We Christians, we believers, have all united under these experiences, these seven. The word, the Greek word for church in English is ekklesia. What does it mean? The Greek language is very precise. The New Testament was originally in Greek because there's so many nuances that must be understood for the believer. Ekklesia, the called out ones together. Okay, listen. The called out ones together. Don't you see that we, yes, were called out one at a time. God has no grandchildren, only children. So he called us and we responded and he gave us the right to be children of God. Now, this is about the church. So individually, we came And yet that definition says we are the called out ones, what? Together. That is the key. Now, as called out ones together, we join together. It is a conscious decision. We join together for worship, for service, and for fellowship. Worship, service, and fellowship. One thing that is essential to a worthy Christian life, that's what we want to live, a worthy Christian life, is an earnest effort to promote family unity. We are called out ones together. This is a heart unity. This is a unity having to do with loving relationships and gracious attitudes for one another. These seven things we celebrate. These onenesses we all hold. We all possess them. These form the foundation on which the Holy Spirit will effect true oneness together here. Let's look at them. Verse 4. We're going to look at two sets of triplet things, a triad. There is one body. That's our church. United under Christ the head. We are members of that one body. We are a living organism together. In verse 4, it says, besides there is one body, there is one Spirit, one and only one, who gives life to that body, the Holy Spirit, who indwells each believer right at your saving. That happens. There is in that triad of onenesses, besides the one body and the one Spirit, there is the one hope. My friends, we have but one hope, and He is Christ Jesus. And another part of that hope is that all that He has promised, we look forward to. One future. God's promises to return and take us to glory. To this hope we are called. Now, the first three have centered on the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The next three will center on the Lord Redeemer, Jesus, our Christ. Verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. No one can truly call themselves a Christian who does not acknowledge, testify that Jesus Christ is their Lord. Many early Christians died when they refused to cling to the Roman Emperor Caesar demands that they call him Lord. One of the great examples, of course, is Polycarp, the aged bishop of Smyrna, who lived in the second century. And when commanded to say, "Caesar is Lord," he refused and made this noble confession: 86 years have I served him," speaking of Jesus, "and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my Savior and King?" Now, this faithful witness that he made sealed his testimony at the stake. So it's one Lord. If we have any other lords in our life, including ourselves, they need to get off the throne. Now, one faith. This is our one singular commitment, one singular trust in the Redeemer, the belief in his name as the only name in which we find salvation. My friends, the gospel, the good news, is all about the Lord Jesus and his love for us and his desire that we not be lost but saved. One baptism. In a great sense, this is the one indwelling of the Spirit into every believer that we've referred to. We are in that baptism of the Spirit when we are saved and he indwells us. We are submerged in and saturated by the Holy Spirit. Now, in a more practical way, baptism, and I'm not speaking about the various modes of baptism, though for three centuries, submersion was the baptism that all used. But we're speaking of baptism in church where each believer shows an outward, visible sign that they are confessing to their faith and they are joining. It is their identifier, their joining together of that body of believers. When they show their confession to their death, their burial, and their resurrection in Christ Jesus. It does not save us. It identifies us with the other believers here together. That fellowship. Now, this list of spiritual unities is now climaxed by a one that has three within it. One God, who is our Father, God of all. This is a climax. This is a crowning of all the things that God has provided us as a foundation for our being a believer in this world. Now it says, one God who is over all, through all, and in all. We're speaking here, first of all, about the one sovereign God. He has and cannot have a superior. His throne, high and lifted up above creation, is paramount and unchallenged, regardless of what you might hear anywhere else. And through all, it says, that's God's presence is pervading, controlling, sustaining all things. Yet, that God is not remote. Neither is He indifferent to us. His influence, His power are ours, and they can be used everywhere in the life of the church. The final phrase, in all. And in some translations it says, in you all. I like that southern thing. In all. This is speaking of God's indwelling, His personal and intimate relationship. The one God and one Father is dwelling in His people by the Spirit. Verse 7 is not speaking about the onenesses we have. It's speaking about a great gift that God has now given His people. But to each of us, grace. Verse 7. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We see here that grace is unmerited. But God freely gave grace. Remember, our saving grace is the same for all. It's level at the foot of the cross, my friends. We all come humbly to Him to receive the blessing, the giving of life. So, that grace, it's speaking of that grace, but also it's speaking of the believer receiving specific gifts for service in the church together, for the building up of the church together, for our growth, both in number and in spiritual maturity. Now, verse 8 is speaking about those gifts. It is a prophetic verse based on Psalms 68:18. It's a messianic and things to come verse. It says, therefore it says, when He ascended, that's speaking about Christ the Lord, when He ascended on high. Now this is a beautiful portion here. He led captive a host of captives. Other translations say this: He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts to men. Now, this pictures Christ as a conquering king. This is a visual of the way victorious kings went out to battle with armies, and the victor would come in, and behind the king, it was a great parade, a victory parade. We have victory parades after big wars. This is a bit different because in days of old, the king led out his armies along the side, escorting the defeated foes, the enemies now in defeat, without weapons, heads bowed low, for they have been defeated. This is speaking about Christ, the conquering king that has overcome sin's power, the sting of death, and the eternal grave, and He's done that on the cross and in His resurrection. This Old Testament phrase about He led captive a host of captives, this means the ones He went out to fight had previously kept us in captivity. So He went out to take the one that had been captive over us, to break him down, to defeat him. Jesus conquered those who had conquered us in sin. Don't we sing, "My chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior has what? Rescued me." So, not only back in those days did the defeated enemies trail in behind the conquering king, but the conquering army shared in the spoils of war, the things of great worth. This is referring when it says, "And He give gifts to men." This is referring to the gift, of course, of amazing grace, salvation, us being set free. And it also refers, in truth, to the spiritual gifts that He has given His church for the advancement of His kingdom. My friends, with all the gifts, with all the onenesses we have, there's much that lie ahead before our Lord comes. I don't know when He's coming. We don't have it on the screen. But look with me, if you happen to have your Bible open, two verses before the ones we were looking at. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 2 and verse 3. Hold a message that I believe we need right now, moving forward. It reads, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. How? In the bond of peace. This is like a big bunch of dowel rods. They're in varying lengths and thicknesses. And wanted to, if we were to pick one, we would just break it over our knee. You just crush it. But if we took the varying lengths and circumferences of those dowel rods and we put them together and wrapped them, bonded them together, they would be so much stronger, withstand so much that the world has to throw at us. If we are bound together in peace, there is nothing that Satan can throw against the child of God, the church of God, that will work. Humility, kindness, forbearance, peace is what will bind us together moving forward. That is our responsibility, to keep the unity, the oneness that was already present. We didn't create it, to keep it intact. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, you are a good, good Father. And you have provided for your children. And now we ask that you show us how to love again, how to forgive again, how to forbear again, how to be gentle with one another again, because we really love one another. We really need one another. Oh Lord, show us that. Help us, Lord. Father, thank you for your word. It never fails. We ask, Lord, all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If any of God's word pricked your heart, I pray you will act on it. You will move on it. If someone is here that does not know and does not have the gifts and the provisions that God has provided, that they would come and meet Christ, who awaits them at all times.
Our hymn of invitation will be hymn number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Please stand. Upon Jesus.
Dear brother, and his name is
Aaron,
has come with his dad and has asked to let us know that he is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been talking at home, and he's been talking in vacation Bible school, and he's been confessing that he loves the Lord, and now he wants to follow him in believer's baptism. And he wants to find some place to put his hands. We love him, and we ask that you come by and just give him a word of encouragement as he stands up here after our services. Brother.
All right. I want to thank everybody for being here. And again, happy Father's Day. And Brother Robert, it's good to see you back with us again today, brother. Keep praying for your healing. And Brother Joe, thank you for your message today. It was very well done. Thank you so much for bringing that message from God. As we go, we're going to sing the chorus to Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and then come by and shake Aaron and his dad's hands and welcome him to our church.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
God bless and have a great week.